Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Now we're going to go strike up a conversation with old Captain Lynn Smith, Port O'Connor, my man. Lynn, what's up?
I'm trying to get into hunting mode. I'm ready.
Trying to get into the hunting mode. That ought to be just a little step for a stepper like you, buddy.
I'm telling you. No, I'm ready. I'm ready to start deer hunting. I'm fired up.
Golly.
I know. Oh, we need a cold snap.
A couple of pictures yesterday. He had a couple of nice deer shot. A man and a lady shot a couple of deer. One apiece yesterday.
And
he said it was hot. It was 90-something degrees in South Texas.
Oh, man, I know. Yeah, we got hunters. We got hunters down there starting this week. It's going to be kind of warm. I've been looking at the weather on my phone, and yeah, I think the coldest it's going to be is high 50s. That'll be cool.
Well, that's going to feel like winter, you know, for what we've been going through this fall. So I'll take it. That'll be nice.
Oh, I know.
That might make you want to get up in a duck blind somewhere too.
I know. Yeah. Well, we tried to do a flyover with the biologist the other day,
right?
But the wind picked up.
Uh-oh.
You know, they started the flyover at 7:30 and had to shut it down at 9, so they only did 40% of the ranch on the north end, but the wind got up to 30 miles an hour, so they shut it down. And but they counted 198 deer, and they did say that there was an 80% fawn survival, so that
80%,
was good.
That's pretty good.
That's real good, and they're going to finish the survey on December the 5th, but they said they did see 10 real mature bucks. They saw one big trophy monster. But they couldn't get a picture of him. He dove into a real thick thicket and wouldn't come out. you know, like they couldn't get a picture of him. But anyway, I said, "Well, did y'all get a doe count?" You know, and they said, "No, they couldn't get a good doe count, but they'll get a total count on December the 5th, and it looks like it'll be a high count, so they'll probably increase the number of does that'll need to be taken off the place." So anyway, I know that originally they said that I think we had to take about 75 off the place. So And when I left, easier I left down there the other day. Too. Oh yeah, I mean it's hard to get those does off the place. You know, once the hunters start.
How does that work with your, you know? How does that work with the biologist if you don't take the amount of does off that they want you to? Do y'all get penalized in any way or what?
Well, they want you to take them. They want you to get your quota, but right. You know, if you don't get close to the quota, they cut you back at the end of the year, you know.
Yeah.
But you can get close to it. We usually get close to it, if not the quota, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is getting the hunters to shoot them.
Sure.
You know, that's the hard part. They don't want to shoot a doe because they think that big trophy buck of a lifetime is in the bush right behind that doe, you know.
Yeah, I know.
They don't want to pop that doe, and that's the hard part. But the biologist told the hunters on the ranch at the beginning of the season that he wanted them to kill at least 30 does before they shoot a buck.
Right.
So I know that they've killed close to that already.
Oh, well, that's good.
And, yeah. So that's good. But when you've got 75 doe permits – and they've killed close to 30. Well, they still got a lot to take, you know.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And it was kind of funny, you know, when I had that couple the other day, Mike and Gwen, they were sitting there and Gwen was going to shoot a doe and there were several out there and I'm looking with the binoculars and she was just fixing to drop the hammer on one. And I said, whoa, wait, there's another bigger one coming in from the left. I said, hold on. Don't shoot that one. Shoot the one on the left. Cause boy, that right at dark, they were really coming in, you know?
Yeah.
And, so anyway, she took the bigger doe on the left, but, anyway, it was amazing. You know, the does that had the yearlings, the bigger yearlings now, because the ranch that I was on prior to going back to George West, the ranch that I was on between Freer and Cotulla, man, they had some small yearlings. I mean, real small. Just
yeah, that's
little
further
bitty.
Down south, later rut thing, man.
Yeah, it was a later rut, no doubt about it. I mean,
Blaine's,
I saw one doe.
Blaine's the last few years have been late as it can be. It's just crazy.
That's what you said. I mean, I saw one doe had twins.
TPLW ought to consider some of those deep south counties down there to changing the season.
Yeah, seasons.
Open later and keep it open longer, you know, into February or what have you, you know.
That's what I would think. I mean, like I told you one time, in February, we were finishing up, you know, shooting some does and stuff, and I was sitting in a stand, heard some noise behind me, and turned around and looked, and there was a 12-point and a 14-point chasing a doe.
Wow.
Back and forth. I mean, unbelievable. And that was in February.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just crazy. So, you know, we have a late rut.
So look how late fawn crop is off of that doe that they bred. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Those fawns probably still got spots on them right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, I saw that one doe that had those little twins. And, I mean, it was amazing that they didn't have spots. They might have just lost their spots. They were that small. But, boy, they were tiny. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, I was thinking I'm gonna try to get down there. We've got some hunters that we're gonna hunt this next weekend, and I was thinking this one stand that I really like. It's a ground blind, and when I was down there the other day, I didn't get a chance to clean this old ground blind out. It needs cleaning out. Somebody had left a door open. They didn't latch it good, and I went and checked it real careful, you know.
Yeah.
But boy, it'd been some mice had got in there, and oh, it was a wreck. I've got to go clean it out and put a bomb in there. But there was a rattlesnake living underneath it, and pretty good sized rattlesnake. And it was funny because last year you'd be sitting in that blind. If you stomped your foot on the bottom of that blind, that rattlesnake would rattle underneath it. he was pretty good sized one. So when you got out of the blind, you had to be real careful. You know, make sure he wasn't waiting for you outside. But he was about a 6-footer.
That made me a nervous wreck.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of funny.
What's been showing up around my house right now are baby copperheads.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, those little ones, those 6 and 8 inches with a little chartreuse tail on them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're so pretty, it makes you want to put them on a jig head and throw them for redfish.
They'd eat them. They'd eat them, I guarantee
you. They would. But those little things are around, and it makes me a nervous wreck, you know, with my grandson over running around barefooted. And I said, stay away from out from under them trees around the house, man.
He'll get trees
and playing. And
I caught a bass one time that I caught this bass. He was about a 4-pound bass, and I lipped him. And when I picked him up out of the water, I looked in there, and I could see a snake, a cottonmouth, sticking out of his throat, just a body of the cottonmouth sticking out of his throat. And I reached in there with some hookouts, and I grabbed that body of that snake and pulled it out of that bass and threw him overboard.
Man.
Yeah. He had eaten a snake, a cottonmouth.
I'd have thrown it all overboard, bass and all. You can have that. You saw
it was a young one.
There was a picture going around years back on the internet where a guy had lipped a bass and a cottonmouth bit him on the thumb.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, where a bass had swallowed that snake.
Yeah. I was lucky that one didn't get me, you know. I mean, it was a young cottonmouth, but he was dazed. You know, he was so dazed, he was still alive, but I pulled him out and threw him overboard before he had a chance to pop me.
No thanks, boy.
Man, that was years and years ago. But
need to watch out for them little bitty copperheads around their house right now.
I bet.
You know, I've got a pair of nesting hawks that come back every year, and they've kept the snakes, you know, pretty much thinned out around my property. I got, you know, like that big garter snake I showed you a picture of, but I hadn't seen any poisonous snakes till now.
Hmm.
So I got a mama copperhead somewhere. I sure need to get her. See where she's hiding.
I wouldn't leave the house without snake boots on if I was you. I guarantee you.
It makes you think twice walking around, you know, outside barefoot at night when you can't see.
Oh, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I went out. When I was upstairs with my daughter one time. She was down here over the weekend, and I opened the door. We were going to go downstairs, and a snake just slithered past the front door of my house. And I'm up on stilts, okay? But it was a ribbon snake. But, you know, they'll climb up these wooden stairs. That's no big deal. That's no big deal for them. You know, I've heard of people going up deer stands that have wooden stairs, and they find rattlesnakes in their blinds. I've heard of that happening.
Door right at your eye level. Now you reach up there, and then you swing the door open so you can climb on in there, and you're right there level with the floor of your head. How about getting popped right between the eyes by one of those?
Oh, my goodness. Years ago, I was hunting out of Kerrville, out of Hunt, Texas, and some buddies of mine dropped me off at a ground blind, and about 100 yards from the blind. In the dark, and they dropped me off, and I just was trying to be quiet, you know, and I sneaked over toward that blind, and when I got to the blind, I looked, and the door was cracked open about 3 or 4 inches, and I thought, now this isn't good, and I got the door, and I just eased the door open. As I'm easing it open, I heard that rattlesnake in there buzzing.
Oh, boy.
And I said, oh, this isn't good. And I just left the door open and turned around and walked away. I said, I think I'll hunt somewhere else.
Yeah, man, you got to watch people. They'll leave the windows open, you know, then in there. You know, they just
Check
them every time you pick them up. They just
oh, yeah.
They don't get it. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll be right back, buddy. Hang with me.
Yeah.
Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for all your great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken now that deer season's in full swing. Don't forget about taking your wild game to the Belleville Meat Market. Greatest processing around. Smoked sausage samples are available. You can try them daily in the store, see which blends you like the best. Full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check out their bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and original country hot dogs. You can buy two packs and get the third pack free. Quarter or half calf, you need one of those processed. They have those available for pre-order also. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys, 11 to 13 pound average weight birds. There's limited supply, so get them while you can. And check out their new sausage recipe just in time for deer season. You got to try it. It's really good. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good morning, welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. A little breezy today, but hey, it's just good to be here. 518 in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back. I had a question for you during the break. I said, ask Lynn if they ever use the infrared heat sensing drones for their counts.
No. We haven't used that.
Right.
No, they just use the we just use the helicopter, and the guys we fly it with the biologist, and you know, we just, I usually sit in the back seat with the biologist, and you know, you see a good deer, you tell the biologist what you're seeing and on your side, and he, of course, he's doing a count, and they're counting everything. They're counting javelinas and or you know, pigs and everything. So they're doing the whole count, and they're even counting coveys of quail. They're doing the whole thing.
There's a bunch of them this year, man. Oh my goodness,
there are. Yeah, I was sitting at a stand the other day on that place between Freer and Cotulla, and there was big covey of Bob Whites and a covey of blues underneath a feeder.
Right.
That's the first covey of blues I've seen in a while. But, boy, they're neat. They're big old quail, you know. They are big. Good to see them. I like to see them. On that ranch of George West, we've got some blues on one stand, you know, on the backside. And that's the only place we see them on that ranch, but it's sandy soil on this one area. Mm-hmm. And that's where they hang out, around that sandy soil area. But we see them. But I was going to tell you, we had this years and years ago, probably 20 years ago. I just started guiding on the place, and we had this young hippie that the ranch owner had hired, and he took a liking to him, and this young hippie was just kind of taking care of a few things around the place. Anyway, he was kind of strange, and we were riding around the ranch with him and kind of showing him around. And there was an old wooden stand, tower stand, that didn't have any doors or windows on it. And an owl had taken up residence in that stand.
Oh, boy.
And had babies in there. Well, the owner had put a sign up on the stand that said, "Don't bother the owl." Well, anyway, we were riding around, and this guy, this hippie, was named Paul. I'll never forget him. And Paul said, stop. He said, I want to check out the owl. And we said, Paul, you're not supposed to bother the owl. He said, I just want to see it. So this stand had a straight-up ladder. Straight up.
Instead of slanted, it straight. I hate those kind of stands.
Oh, they're dangerous. They're dangerous.
They are.
Anyway, he decided to crawl up that ladder.
Oh, boy.
And he slowly crept up that ladder and peeked into that stand, and that owl was standing there looking at him. And that owl took off and relieved himself right in that guy's face, an old Paul's face. And I never laughed so hard in my life. I thought I was going to break a rib. I was laughing so hard. Oh, it was funny. It was funny. Gosh. But talking about those straight-up ladders, way back when in 1968, when I first started shooting skeet, I'll never forget this. I shot skeet over on South Main on old Houston Trap and Skeet. You remember that right. place?
Yep. That's back in the day, man.
Oh, way back there, 68.
Yeah.
And anyway, there was an old guy that was a trap shooter, and I remember him well. And he and his buddies were deer hunting, and his buddies dropped him off at a stand, had a straight-up ladder. And they drove off. Well, he started climbing up to that stand. And there was frost on the ground. And his foot slipped through that one of the deals on that ladder.
Oh.
The rungs on that ladder. And he fell backwards and broke his leg, compound fracture.
Oh,
and hung.
Gosh.
And hung on that ladder until they came to pick him up. He was hanging on that ladder. He almost died. I mean, it was amazing he didn't die. I mean, this man was in his 70s when this happened. And it was amazing he didn't die from it.
Tough old
But since that happened, I'll never forget that. When I drop a hunter off, I always sit there and wait for him to get in the stand.
Exactly.
That's right. Exactly. That taught me a lesson right there. I always did.
Oh, because we have a friend that years ago he went to his ranch hunting by himself, and he was up in a tree stand, and something gave way, and he fell out of that tree. He was bow hunting, and I don't know how he broke everything in his body. Just about, he hit every limb all the way down, and he was way up there, and. Long story short, he couldn't walk. Legs were broke. I mean, arms. I mean, he's just messed up big time. His face is all demolished. And he couldn't get a cell signal. So he crawled, drug himself all the way up by the gate where he knew he could get a signal, and called 911. They showed up, and they laugh-lighted him to San Antone. And the doctors there kind of pretty much gave up on him. And a nurse there, he said, "I owe that lady my life." She said, "I know a doctor in Houston that can save you." And they pretty much wrote him off, said, "Man, you know, you're done." Well,
good
they life-flatted him to Houston and saved his life. And he recovered from that, but it took a long time. I don't know how many, you know, facial surgeries and other parts of his body over the years, but he's good to go. You wouldn't even know it now.
Man,
I mean, there's just so many weird things. You know, it's like going out in a boat. You know, I got a real good friend. He fishes a lot by himself, and I tell him all the time, I said, man, are these little pencil trout we're catching this bay worth going out there by yourself every day? I said, you've caught millions of fish in your lifetime, but he still goes. And I beg him all the time, just make sure you got that kill switch on and that life jacket. And because, I mean, you know how things happen in a boat. It's just like in a deer stand. You know, there's just too many things that can happen that you don't think will happen, just like in a boat, and that's the end of you. You're done.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and, you know, I'm guilty of it, too. You know,
I know.
I'll go out by myself.
Go out scouting.
And I shouldn't do it.
Fishing buddy. See, I just lost my good fishing buddy. That was, you know, we fished together our entire lives, and we went to his funeral yesterday. But you know, that's something I'm going to miss. You know, in the wintertime, he loved popping out. We'd go scout and looking around and fishing. Mm-hmm. And he's just not there anymore.
Right.
That's what you need. You need your mate, first mate.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Go out scouting around, because, I mean, we're not getting any younger. We're not as nimble as we used to be. I mean, just one slip on the dock. I mean, look what happened to your buddy down there in Port O'Connor, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know it. I know it. It'll happen. And it can happen in a heartbeat, you know?
Yeah, it can.
For sure.
When you least expect it.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, we had a friend just the other day. This guy was big in CCA and all that, and they got to trying to get a hold of him, couldn't get a hold of him, and they went over his house, found him dead in his bed. He's died in his sleep.
That's the way this was with my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sunday, and my other buddy was cooking a brisket, and he knew how Pete loved brisket, and he was trying to get a hold of him. He called me, said, I can't get a hold of Pete. I said, well, he said, I've tried both of his phones. I said, well, I'll try him. Maybe he don't want to talk to you. So I called him. Couldn't reach him, and Raz went over there to check on him, and couldn't get him to answer the door, and his vehicle was in the garage, so he called his son, you know, my nephew, mm-hmm. and that's how we found him. It's a shame.
Well, this good friend of mine here in Port O'Connor, right down the other street, he goes to church every Sunday, and the next-door neighbor noticed his truck was still in his driveway a little later than what it normally is. So she went over there and opened his door and hollered at him, and he said, I'm in here, and he, in his bedroom. Well, she went in there, and he was on the floor beside the bed. He said, I can't get up.
Uh-oh.
Well, he'd been on the floor beside the bed for 14 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
14 hours, and he couldn't get up. And so anyway, they got EMS over there, and they got him up. And anyway, he had pneumonia. Had gotten pneumonia. And anyway, they got him to the hospital and everything. But he recovered. He's home now. But stuff like that can happen in a heartbeat, you know. You just never know.
I know, and a lot of us, when we get old, you lose your mate and all that, and then you're living alone.
Mm-hmm.
And welfare checks need to be done a couple of times a day.
Oh, yeah.
All these old timers.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
What is that deal they wear around their neck? Life alert?
Oh, yeah.
Help,
yeah.
I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey,
that's right.
Life, man.
That's right. It could.
That commercial comes on, and we're all sitting around watching a ball game or something. We all look at each other and go, you know what, boys? We're going to be there one of these days.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get down on my knees and get under my boat to do something like on my trailer, and I'll crawl out from under there, and I'm going, man, it is hard to get up.
Boy, it is, man.
You never know.
Not as easy as it used to be.
No,
I saw an old timer at the post office the other day, and I said, how old are you now? He said, I quit wade fishing when I turned 81.
Man.
I said, really? Yeah. He said, yeah. I said, well, I don't, I told him, I said, I don't wade mud anymore. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I stay out of the mud now. I'll wade, but I stay out of the mud. Y'all can have it.
I do, too. You know, my hips.
10 pounders jumping out of the water every cast for me to get in there again.
Me, too. I said, man, my hips are starting to burn on me. And I said, man, that mud gets me. I took some guys one day, and I ran into Pringle Lake, and I love Pringle Lake, but you know how Pringle is, and but there's some good fish in there, and I ran around to this one pocket, and these three guys with me, and we jumped out of the boat, and I waited about 30 yards from the boat, and I said, that's it, and I turned around, and I hit the button, and I raised that power pole, and I let the boat drift to me, and I climbed back on the boat, and I said, that's it. I said, that's what trolling motors are for.
Oh, she wrote.
Yep, that's it. That's it for me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that lake is bad. That is bad news.
Yeah, man. We went down there with Everett one time, Blaine and I and Robert Shear, and we were going to shoot some pictures for his magazine, you know, with, you know, American Rod Smith rods and all that. First thing he ever did was take us into Pringle and dump us out. And I said, you know, I think I would have parked that boat a little shallower. That way it'd make it easier to get in it when you're standing here in knee-deep mud trying to get over the sun. Didn't have a ladder. I'm laughing. Uh-huh. But we were younger then. Now, I don't know whether I could do that or not.
Standing, you know, I have waited.
Trying to get into
something. I have waited all. I've waited all the way across that lake chasing a school of redfish before.
Right.
I have. And then had to wait all the way back to get the boat. You know, that was in the younger days, though. But, oh, my goodness. When I first started fishing Port O'Connor, they still had targets up in Pringle Lake, sticking up from World War II. And when the, you know, this whole island, you know, was a target range, you know, the bombing range and everything. But they still had a target up in the middle of Pringle Lake. And it was still sticking up. So they used it for, I think it was 20 millimeter. I think a 20 millimeter cannons. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's what it was. I know my duck blind that I had back over on the island, I would go park my airboat, and I'd walk back to my blind, and there were like 20 millimeter shell casings all over the place.
Man.
Brass casings. Yeah. Everywhere. But, you know, you fly the island, you fly over it, and there's all kinds of round, perfectly round potholes. Those are bomb craters.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and, you know, in our own backyard. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me do another break. I'll be right back again. Hang with me, my friend. All right. Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in downtown Matagorda. Can't beat it. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. And bring your friends and your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you soon won't forget. And bring your friends, bring your clients, and let them do it all up for you. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 or host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:38. All right, Liam, we're back, my friend.
Yeah, that ground blind that I've got to clean out. I really like that blind, and I've killed some really good deer out of that blind. And I decided I'm gonna set a bomb off in that blind, kill all the spiders, and maybe it'll run that rattlesnake out of there, out from underneath it. But that's a good blind.
I know gasoline
blind.
Works, you know.
Oh yeah, I know that.
Spray and spray it under there, and the fumes and everything. Got to run him out, and then you can kill him.
Oh, it will. I know that. Yeah, that
but
works real good.
He might have
good.
A buddy that wants to take over his den, and he'll move in there
yeah.
anyway. So
I know it. I know it. Yeah, yeah. That used to be kind of funny, though. I used to like to get a customer in there and sit there with him, and they'd hear him buzz every once in a while, and they go, "What's
man.
That?" I go, "Oh, that's a rattlesnake," and they go, "What?" I say, "Well, that's a rattlesnake."
That's our local pet.
Yeah, that's a rattler. I say,
"Lane
had
a blind like that over at one of his ranches. Same thing, a ground blind with a big one living under it like that."
Oh, I like to. I'd just kind of tap my foot on the floor, and he'd buzz. and they'd say, "Oh, my God, their eyes get real big." I said, "Now, look, when we leave this blind, you have to be real careful getting out."
Yeah.
And they go, "Oh, my God." I said, "Yeah. Yeah, when you open the door, you got to be real careful. You just got to make sure he's not laying, coiled up out in front of the door waiting for you." You know, you just got to be sure you know that he's there.
Well,
you don't want that surprise, man. You know, because those mice live underneath that stand, you know.
That's what they're there for, is food
that's
source.
Right. That's right.
Just like fish. You don't have bait, you don't have fish.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, buddy.
Well, that's part of the game when you have these ranches deep south down there in quail country and bird country. When you got birds, you got snakes.
That's right. Exactly. Well, we've been real fortunate, you know. Yeah, that ranch manager, he moved a quail feeder, and there was one underneath that quail feeder, living underneath it. He was 6 footer plus. Oh man, he was a big one. And he didn't have a gun with him or anything. He just kind of stepped back and let that snake just ease off. But I guarantee he was over 6 feet. He was a big one. He videoed him and sent me the video, and I went, "Oh my goodness." He said, "Yeah, I just kind of let him go." I said, "Man, you didn't have a stick or anything?" He said, "No, nothing." And that snake was, God, it looked like he was 6 inches in diameter. He was a monster. But, we've got them down there. They just lay around those quail feeders, just waiting on the quail. You know, we had one of these callback boxes, you know, for those quail. And, you could walk up to them and, had a door on them, you walk in. And I told this guy, the ranch manager, I said, "Boy, you got to be careful walking in these things, you know. Those rattlesnakes would go right into those callback boxes." Well, we walked up to one, and that ranch manager eased that door open real careful, and he said, "Check this out." And he reached in there and pulled out about a 6 or 7 foot blue indigo. And that blue indigo was in there with him. He just grabbed him, drug him out.
Well, that's a good one to have there. That's a poisonous snake-eating machine right there, buddy.
Boy, it is, man. It is.
I saw a video not too long ago where one was choking down a rattlesnake. Guy videoed it at his lease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
I've
video
seen it firsthand.
You sent me of that giant buck from a helicopter survey
the
other day. Well, if that don't get you fired up, you don't have a pulse. Man,
isn't
what a deer
truth?
That was. I wonder how wide that deer was. My God.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. And what amazes me is some of these big old wide bucks like that will dive into those thick bunch of brush like that, and they just disappear. And and that's what happened the other day. That little boy told me, he said, that buck dove into that thick brush and didn't come out. And they said, "We couldn't get him to come out to get a picture of him."
Well, and they blend in so good in those motts like that. They're, far as their body color and everything, if they don't move, you can't see them.
That's
they're
right.
Being, you know how those deer, they'll just freeze. They'll go perfectly still, and then you lose them. You can't see them.
I know it.
Until they make
and,
some move.
They lay down. They lay down in there. Yeah. And matter of fact, that where that ground blind is, I was talking about, I came around the corner there, around the brush, going to that blind one day. I was going to fill that feeder. Mm. And there was a buck at the feeder when I turned the corner around the brush that was a big, wide buck like that. He was, he had to be 26, 27 inches wide. Oh, I mean, he was a big, heavy horned buck. Oh, man, he was big. And he took off, and he ran to the edge of the brush, and he stood in the shadows looking at me. And I stopped the truck just as soon as I saw him at the feeder. But I watched him with my binoculars, and he ran to the edge of the clearing and stood in the shadows, and he was watching me. And I was just sitting there watching him. Oh, he was a big, heavy horned deer, you know, old deer. And he laid down. He laid down in the shadows. And I said, well, you old rascal, you. I mean, look at this, man. And he laid down watching me. And I said, well, I'm just going to watch him and see what he does. And so I started idling real slow to the feeder. And I idled up to the feeder. Now, he is probably, 100 yards from the feeder. And he was still laying there watching me. And I got out of the truck. And I started pouring corn in that feeder, and I never saw him get up to run. And I swear he crawled off. I don't think he ever jumped up and ran. I think he crawled away.
Just crawled.
Uh-huh. I guarantee he did.
Man.
I mean, they don't get big by being stupid, you know.
No, they don't. They've seen it all. They've been around a while, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, boy, he was a big old heavy. He was wide, and he was heavy, and he was chocolate horned, you know.
Oh, man.
I can still see him like it was today. Oh, my goodness. What a pretty deer. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, you just don't see those deer till the rut is on. You just don't see them. And you wonder, where did they come from, you know? Where did they come from?
Yeah, I mean, you don't even see them on game cams.
No. Uh-uh. Yeah, and you would think that they'd come out to the feeders, you know, but they don't. I don't understand it.
I guess they just live off the land itself, you know, the foliage and everything else to survive. They said, the hell with that corn. That corn gets all my buddies killed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it just amazes me. One of my favorite stands on that George West Ranch is way on the back side of the ranch, and of course, it's a low fence ranch, and way past the low fence on the other side of the low fence, the ranch on the other side, those old boys, they feed protein too, and they're bow hunters. Well, they're good hunters, and they manage too. They manage deer real good. And in fact, we talk about, you know, good bucks that we see. And then they talk about good deer that they see, and they're not, if they see a real big deer that's moving back and forth between the ranches, you know, they talk about, hey, we're not going to shoot him. You know, we're going to let him breed. And we do the same thing.
Right.
And so, you know,
well, that's good that you've got a neighbor you can do that with. You know, a lot of neighbors don't like that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, I think I told you about that one buck that I saw, that had gotten out of a high fence ranch. That he had a tag in his ear, and he had a gauger had gone in and left the gate open, and this buck got out of a high fence, and that buck had 17 points on one side.
My God.
On one side. And so we had him on trail camera. I saw him real close. I mean, my hunter had shot a buck, it shot a 10 point, and I went and got the truck. And I came back to pick him up. My hunter was laying down beside his deer, pointing. And I'm thinking, what's he doing? He's pointing. And I turned to look, and this deer is standing probably 30 yards from him, eating corn. And I went, you got to be kidding me. This buck is chewing corn like a cow would chew his cud, you know. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this buck has got 17 points on one side. I mean, he's a monster. Gosh. And
with a tag,
and that buck just stood, with a tag in his ear. And he's just chewing his corn, just looking at me like wasn't bothered with me at all. And I went, oh, my goodness. Well, we saw that deer several times, you know, and then he ended up just crossing the fence, our fence, and going over to the neighboring ranchers. And we called that rancher and told him about that deer. Well, he saw him, too. And he said, we're not going to shoot him. You know, we're going to let him breed. Well, we said the same thing. And that deer, I think he ended up just dying of old age because nobody shot him, you know. Man. We just let him breed. And that's what you got to do. You got to let these deer like that spread their genes around, you know. But and you can see results like that.
Yeah,
you know,
you
from
can.
Other from offsprings. You can definitely
Without
see it.
Without a doubt.
That one deer that we killed in 2012 that was the third largest Boone and Crockett buck killed in Texas. I mean, that buck, you can see offsprings from him. I mean, the characteristics from some of the deer, you short brow tines, short G2s, you can see that. That buck, had he had bigger brow tines and bigger G2s, oh, he'd have been just massive. But, I mean, as a result, he still had massive horns. I mean, real wide, heavy horns, carried mass all the way out. And, I mean, I saw that deer 3 years in a row. We just couldn't get a shot at him. And finally put a hunter up in a tripod, and that deer came out at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon going to a protein feeder, and the guy that saw him missed him on the first shot. I know he was shaking. I mean, he had to be shaking because that's the biggest deer he'd ever seen, you know.
Yeah.
He said, oh, my God, this has got to be the deer they're talking about. And he missed him on the first shot. And the deer ran over to the edge of Sendera, stopped and looked back. And he got him on the second shot. He was lucky, just real lucky. But there was only 3 inches difference between him and number one in the state. 3 inches.
That's about as close as it gets.
Yeah, yeah. And I still think they had like 6 or 8 inches deductions. I mean, incredible.
Yeah, just that is. That is incredible.
The game manager on the ranch took that deer to Texas Trophy Hunter Show and just blew everybody away with that deer.
I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, for a low fence ranch, oh, man,
yeah.
What a deer. What a deer. You know,
that's what every deer hunter dreams about.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the guy that ended up harvesting that deer, about a week later, he was invited on a hunt at a high fence place. And he shot a deer that was, you know, 200 class, mm-hmm. or a little over 200. And he said, that didn't even excite him, you know. He said that didn't excite me, and I saw the deer. He
not
brought
compared to a wild open range buck like you're talking about.
No, massive. He said that was nothing compared to this. He said this is the real deal.
There used to be, you know, not deer like that, but I mean some really before all the high fence craze and everything, where there was just Texas was just open range, and it was noted for all the giant deer. You know you know, where these deer could spread their genetics from county to county.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when they first leased this place in George West, the biggest deer they took off that ranch was a 154.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest deer they took.
Yeah, but so, then they started protein feeding it and managing it properly.
Yeah, and managing it.
That's all it takes.
Right.
That's all it takes. Is money.
Yeah, and the right kind of management, you know, harvesting the does. You know, back in the day when we all hunted East Texas, we hunted all around Bryan, College Station, you know, places mm-hmm. like that, Kerrville, you know, hill country. You know, the landowners wouldn't let you take a doe. They wouldn't let you do it. I remember that. And they had doe permits, but they wouldn't let you shoot them.
Yeah.
And they didn't believe in it. Didn't believe in shooting the does. Well, all they did was hurt their herd, hurt their deer herd.
Right.
And they just had too many deer. And as a result, the horns were small. And, you know, the bucks couldn't compete. They just didn't compete. And, you know, the bucks need to compete. The biggest ones
so
need
many,
to.
So many does and heat, the dominant bucks aren't able to get the ones they need to. And you got all these scrubs mating those deer. It just keeps producing more bad genetics.
That's right. That's right.
That's why it's good to shoot all these inferior, you know, cull bucks.
That's right.
You know, that are, once they get up 4, 5, 6 years old and they're still nasty. Hey.
That's right. I
send
saw
them
a cull buck.
Belleville meat market.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw a cull buck last week. And
sausage dogs.
Oh, yeah. You know, any of these deer, like 3 or 4 year old deer with no brow times, those need to go.
Gone.
You know.
Get them out of here.
Yeah.
See
it. Get them out. Yeah.
All right, Lynn. Well, I got to get out of here, too. Speaking of get out of here, if somebody wants to call you about hunting or doing some fishing with you, give them a number so
yes,
they
sir.
Get a hold of you, Lynn.
Yes, sir. They can get me at 361-935-6833.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right,
loosen
man.
Loosen that
sounds
neck
good.
Up. I know it's getting stiff. Swelling up.
Bring a cold snap, will you?
That's it. I'll work on that. I'll promise I'll do that this week. See what we can work
on. All right,
on.
Man.
All right, brother.
You have a good one,
Vic. You too, Lynn. See
all
you, man.
All right.
All right. It's
bye.
Time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. National Anthem coming up. We'll be right back.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.